My name's Adele Onyango, and welcome to another episode of Legally Clueless. No, seriously, I have no clue what I'm doing, but I'm pretty sure I'm not the only one. Hey you, welcome to this episode of Legally Clueless podcast. This is what's coming up.
I did that till around 2022, where I could no longer afford my treatment, and there was also a lot of medical negligence, so I felt mentally fatigued. So I just stopped and I continued hiking. And you know, I actually didn't even tell my family I had stopped treatment. It was so expensive. I'm telling you, it was so expensive. I couldn't afford it anymore. So I just decided, you know, I'll continue hiking and ticking off the items on my list. Yeah, I was told I had 1 year to live in 2019. But now in 2021, you see, I've already been told that I don't have any cancer which is present in my body.
That is part two of Mwende's story. We're about to get into it. But before we do, I hope you're well and you're able to see things, people, and experiences that you really should be grateful for. So before we jump into the story in this episode, I want you to try every night when you get into bed to scan your body, to scan your day, and find three things you're grateful for. The reason I'm sharing this with you is that I read this sometime back last year, and initially I had dismissed it as a small thing that wouldn't have any impact at all. And I was so wrong. I am seeing the impact now, which is why I'm sharing this with you. It's a small thing that has tons of impact. I found that I often tended to remember negative things and negative experiences from the day and not remember anything that brought me joy. I have a friend, Blessing, who calls them glitters. You know how you can have triggers in a day? She says you can also have glitters, things that happen that make you smile, give you a bit of joy. And I would just never remember or spot the glitters. But the triggers? Oh yeah. I would remember those. And I'm pretty sure I'm not alone on this. You know, that's why if you run into ridiculous traffic in the morning, you think what a shit morning it is. And you're forgetting about the beautiful sunrise you saw, or your favorite song that you listened to, or even that you got to see another day. What you'll remember about that day is how terrible the traffic was, unless you start coaching yourself to also spot, acknowledge, and appreciate the good, the glitters. So yeah, feel frustrated because traffic sucks, trust me, I know. But the whole day can't suck because of one thing. So what I want you to do, once you've listened to this episode, let's try this for 1 week, you know? Try it and let me know how it goes for you. And speaking of letting me know things, I also want to send love to Betin Kirote, Terry Kamoro, Christine Marete, Faith Namti, Mercy Tayebwa, Sheila Jepkomboy, and so many other people who sent back feedback or their thoughts once they received our weekly newsletters. I loved reading about your morning and evening routines. I loved reading about your highlights of last year and what you hope to achieve this year. And I really appreciate you sharing the many ways that you're trying to make your life better. And I learn a lot from you too. If you haven't subscribed to our newsletter, please do so ASAP. Just go to our website, legallycluelessafrica.com. It's linked in the show notes. Right now, let's jump into Mwende's story. We're halfway in. If you haven't listened to part one, find it in the previous episode. But we left off when she was sharing how her battle with breast cancer impacted her near 10-year relationship. 100 African stories on Legally Clueless. Stories from Africa.
But anyway, we worked through it, and my mental health was not good, I would say, and it did affect our relationship. And, you know, and of course, he had his own way of managing or navigating what was happening. So, and some of the ways we both chose did affect the relationship. And so I was not particularly in a happy space when it came to our relationship, even in our, in a different aspect. My work, my profession, my work was quite demanding. My now romantic relationship was struggling. My relationship with my family was okay. It wasn't bad, but it was not great. But, you know, it was okay. But by then, I had moved in with my then-boyfriend. So I wasn't living with my family. I had gone back to school and I was struggling. So I was working and I was back in university to pursue the degree. So I was struggling in so many areas of my life. And let me tell you, it was getting better, then it got so bad, because at that period, I was really depressed. By this was December 2018. I remember I was so depressed, I actually, you know, attempted to kill myself. What triggered it was my birthday, around 1 in the morning, December 10th, and I opened, you know, I was on social media, on Facebook, and the messages I was receiving from people are so positive, which doesn't make sense. You know, they were so positive, and you know, people were encouraging me and telling me how courageous I am and how, you know, they look up to me, how I've managed to go to conquer breast cancer and how I am, you know, I'm inspiring them. And what all these things they were telling me, I could not feel. I could not feel them at all. And I felt like a fraud, you know. Because, and I felt also the pressure that people think I, you know, I felt like people need me to be strong, and I wasn't having, you know, I didn't have that in me, and that is how I, you know, I just thought, okay, I had this brilliant idea of ending my life on that day, because everything was not working out according to me. And I did attempt, anyway, I'm here, so it didn't work. So, and I continued with therapy, and now by then I became more proactive in doing therapy, and I started getting better, and now I started talking about you know, the challenges I've been going through, and I started sharing my story. One thing I learned was, as I was sharing the cancer journey with people, when I was raising awareness, you know, as much as my aim was to raise awareness and do advocacy, I also realized I was starting to heal. It was a way of healing for me. And, you know, I was owning my story. And that became some, you know, I found some purpose in what was happening. So that's how I started doing advocacy. So now this is 2018, December. This same month, now, the other thing which was not going so well, I remember during the same period, on the scar which I had done the mastectomy, there was a lump. And I remember even when I was, you know, when I was in the, just thinking about my life and feeling how everything is just going sideways, one of the things, I had this feeling and I just thought, you know, this is cancer, you know. It was not painful. It was just there. It was behaving the same way there. The lump was behaving, you know, moving a little bit, but it's just there. So I went to the hospital after I actually attempted, I think I attempted to take my life on the 10th, and then I booked an appointment with the doctor soon after. So I went, the doctor ruled it out as a cyst. I wasn't sent to do any tests. They didn't do any tests on me, but the doctor just told me I needed to stop being paranoid. I need to stop worrying and start living, which again made, you see, I'm also depressed at that time. So I was also feeling so bad, because I'm thinking now this, you know, it's like as if, how can I say, the doctor was very dismissive. That surgeon was so dismissive, and I felt, by the time I left his office, I felt worse than I was feeling before I went. So when I went home, afterwards, I just knew, okay, it's in my head. That was December 2018. Flash forward to around, you know, end of 2019. At that time, I've done quite a number of sessions and I've started working again. I'm feeling much better. You know, my relationships, you know, the different ones were getting much better than before. I noticed there are some swellings on my neck, the cervical lymph nodes. I go back to the hospital. I do now a biopsy on both the neck and the scar. They both come back as positive for breast cancer.
I hope you're enjoying this episode and I'm so glad that you're part of this family. We're taking a small ad break, but we'll be right back. And now, back to the episode.
So the one which, you know, the lump which the doctor, you know, brushed off was actually cancer. And when I did a full body scan before now resuming my, starting the treatment, then they saw that the cancer had also gone to one of my lungs. So then, mind you, I've already resumed university, isn't it? Yes, I'm working at that time. I'm working, I've resumed university, my relationships are working, and then again I get this recurrence. Then I get a recurrence, go to the doctor, and I ask the oncologist and a different doctor, you know, what my prognosis was. And the doctor gives me a year to live. This was a day before my 27th birthday. And I'm just, you know, But funny thing is, at that time, I'm grateful to God that, you know, I was doing therapy. I was still on doing therapy. So I managed to take this second diagnosis way more positive than I did my first one. So when I had that, I just started a bucket list. I was thinking, okay, I have a year to live. Let me start a bucket list. Let me enjoy myself. Because the whole of my life, I was just doing, you know, treatments and going to hospital, you know, not treatments, but working and saving so I can go to school. That was really me, you know, supporting my family where I could, like, you know, I was very career focused. I had, I can't tell you how many family events I've missed because I was working, you know, because I was trying to make that extra shilling. I started this bucket list and started writing anything and everything I wanted to do, from eating ice cream under the rain, to climbing a mountain, to getting a tattoo, to piercing my nose. I think I just went all out there, you know, and, you know, going to London. Like, I had a whole list of what I still have it, and I still add on to it as I, you know, cancel out what I've done. So I remember just thinking, you know, I don't want to go through that emotional turmoil of going through treatment, looking for finances to get treatment, then being sick and dying. But my mom is such a prayerful woman. So she was telling me, you know, she knows I'm going to get healed and that I needed to do the treatment, because I was telling them I'm not sure if I want to. So I did the treatment really for my mom. And this was in 2019. So I started the treatment, but not because I wanted to, but mostly I wanted to give my mom that peace of mind, you know. So I started the treatment and I'm grateful I did, because after the first, I think, 3 sessions, all the swellings I had already resolved. And when I did a scan, it also showed that the ones in the lung, I think there were several nodules, you know, they had resolved. There was only one remaining. So, you know, there was a huge progress in such a short time. And I was grateful, you know, I was really grateful that I did the treatment. Anyway, so that was in 2020, and then I started cancelling out my to-do, you know, my bucket list. You know, it rained at some point. I went quickly, bought ice cream, went to the rooftop. You know, I got a tattoo. I started doing the things I wanted to do. And that, you know, from that, as much as I was doing it because I thought I was dying, I realized I'm actually getting some purpose in my life, you know. And then I started also being more vocal in terms of the diagnosis. In 2020, that's when I did my first interview. And before then, I would just share my story in closed groups, you know, friends of friends, you know, like people who are close. But that's when I started doing my, you know, being now more vocal to raise awareness, because I felt that, you know, we need, especially young people, need to do screenings regularly, because, you know, unfortunately, cancer does not know how to choose. You know, it doesn't discriminate. It doesn't care which age you're in. Right now, I know of a lady who was diagnosed with breast cancer at 18 years. You know, this is a disease which we thought can only get, people who are over 40 years, women who are over 40. There are men who are getting breast cancer. So that is one of the things I really felt like, you know, I need to fight back. And by fighting back, you know, if it means sharing my story so that young people can also know that they are not invisible, they need to go get checked. And also, you know, because the earlier you catch it, the better it is, the better the outcome. So yeah, I started doing the advocacy, and I continued, you know, going through my list, you know, ticking out things, you know, adding more things on the list. I joined a hiking group, Kilele Health Association, which works with cancer survivors and caregivers and supporters. You know, one of their programs is hiking for a cause. You know, I'm actually still part of them. You know, I'm a member. So we use hiking as part of advocacy. So I hiked with them in 2021. Different hikes, mountains, you know, Mount Longonot, Elephant Hill. We've done all that. And we also did Mount Kenya in 2021. Then with them again, I did Kilimanjaro in 2022. So that is where, you know, like when I started even hiking, I met more survivors who have gone through different journeys, and I learned how to navigate even more, you know, us exchanging stories, telling each other the challenges. You find a community where you feel like you belong. You can now have these conversations of, you know, mortality and dating and what have you, because of this diagnosis. So it was such an enlightening time for me. And it all started due to these lists. I did the treatment till end of 2020. Then I had to change the treatment, because since the finances were not, you know, I had depleted my finances, insurance refused to renew my application. So I had to now change my treatment option to something which was more affordable. But thankfully, by mid-2021, I was told I had no evidence of disease. So it's called NED, it's like remission for stage 4. And but I still continued with treatment, because with stage 4, you still need to continue with treatment for as long as the treatments work. I did that till around 2022, where I could no longer afford my treatment. And there was also a lot of medical negligence. So I felt mentally fatigued and exhausted because of all what was happening. So I just stopped and I continued hiking. And you know, I actually didn't even tell my family I had stopped treatment. It was so expensive. I'm telling you, it was so expensive. I couldn't afford it anymore. So I just decided, you know, I'll continue hiking and ticking off the items on my list. Yeah, I was told I had 1 year to live in 2019. But now in 2021, you see, I've already been told that I don't have any cancer which is present in my body. It was a relief, but mostly it was a shock, but in a good way. It's something we did not expect. You know, like I've been told I have a year to live. Almost 2 years later, I'm being told they can't see cancer in my body. As in, how does that happen? So for us, it was, you know, to date, we consider it a miracle. And I was so grateful. I saw my results at night, at around midnight. Because I still have this bad habit whereby before I go to see the doctor, I want to first receive my results, have a look at them, so that I don't get shocked when the doctor is breaking the news to me. Because some of them don't know how to. So I got the results at around midnight. I called my mom immediately and told her we were just crying, you know, crying, you know, happy tears. And we prayed and we were so thankful about what had happened. Later, in 2022, I learned that what had also happened was with these results we got, they said that my lungs were clear. But apparently they had omitted that I still had a tumor in my lung, but it was inactive. So when I received, in 2022, I was doing a checkup, actually. I did a full body scan, PET scan, as a checkup. And then I received these results before seeing the doctor. So when I saw there's a nodule in my lung, I panicked because I knew it was back. And since I have a copy of all my results at home, I went back to the previous one I had gotten. I saw that it was written, my lungs are clear. And then this one shows that one of my lungs has something. So I knew the cancer was back and I just panicked. So when I went to the hospital and then the doctor was explaining to me that, everything is okay. You know, she was almost brushing it off. Then I showed her the two reports and told her, there's definitely something different. What is it? Then she told me it's probably, you know, after further investigation, they learned that it was omitted. They didn't indicate that the nodule was still there but inactive. So I got so frustrated because there was quite a few of those medical negligence instances which I had experienced, including now in 2018 when I went and I was told I was being paranoid, you know. So there was that frustration. I know mostly it's also because I was feeling that the doctors are letting me down, yet I'm working so hard to ensure that I'm sticking to the treatment. And it was so expensive. I don't know how I can emphasize it, you know. So anyway, I stopped. What I was doing, however, was now just the checkups. I wasn't on any treatment, but I was doing regular checkups, you know, checking if my blood is okay, checking if, you know, doing the scans to just monitor, but without being on treatment. So sometime last year, I had put aside the cancer advocacy for a bit because I was also tired. And not just tired because of my own journey, but because I was getting very emotionally drained. During this period, there are some people who would reach out to me, who had reached out to me, especially the younger population, who wanted me to help them navigate through the diagnosis. And I was really okay with that. But now the challenge was coming in where I was also losing so many friends to cancer. You know, there were so many people who would, they were diagnosed, either they were getting the recurrences or the cancer would advance to the later stages or they will die. And I'm telling you, it will crush me. So emotionally, I was really getting drained and I noticed that I was also getting into depression because of the same. And there's this other thing which people don't talk about much, the survivor's guilt. You know, when your friend dies and it's somebody who has been recently diagnosed, and you are not dead. You know, it's just, there's that guilt you carry. I don't even, you know, you carry the guilt knowing that people are dying around you and you're still there.
I hope you're enjoying this episode, and I'm so glad that you're part of this family. We're taking a small ad break, but we'll be right back. And now, back to the episode.
So there was a lot of that, and I was also finding different ways of distracting myself, so I didn't want to be in the spaces anymore. Since even when you're not, you don't know somebody directly, but because I'm in so many groups of, you know, the cancer support groups and such. So when you wake up, I kid you not, there was a time where every second day or so, there was somebody who was dying. And I, you know, and you realize there are so many people dying, even the ones you don't know, and it just triggers you because it also reminds you of your own mortality. It takes you back to those friends of yours you've lost, or the ones who are dying, because again, you can tell when somebody is in their late stages. It can be really depressive. And yeah, so there was a lot of that. So I stopped being so active. And then last year, it was, 2023 was a tough one. No, before I even go to 2023, now taking you a little bit back in 2020, when now my finances were depleting and then my insurance depleted and what have you. So what also happened is my relationship ended the same year. So it ended in 2020. I'm telling you, life again, how it becomes quite challenging because I had mentioned we were living together. So we had to move. I was moving out, and it was quite interesting. Everything was starting to now crumble down again because I knew I could not sustain the treatments and what have you. So there was that still happening. Me also trying to navigate now being a single woman after dating for almost 10 years. So there was that, in navigating this, and then I'm still young, and I was still young back then, just wondering, so how is it going to be now moving forward? How is dating going to look like for me with now not just one breast, but a late stage cancer diagnosis? As in, so it was quite something. And I remember how I used to keep on replaying this memory I had from 2016. When I was at Kenyatta Hospital at AQ, there was a lady who I was seated next to, a breast cancer warrior as well. We had just met there, and she asked me about, you know, surgery, and I told her I had done a mastectomy, a single mastectomy. So I remember her telling me, hey, you know, omba Mungu usia. I know. So she asked me if I'm married. I told her I wasn't, and I didn't have kids. So she told me, omba Mungu usiwachwe, ukiwachwa wewe hautapata mtu mwingine. So there was that. That conversation of this woman telling me, if I break up with the current person I'm dating, I will never get somebody else to date. And so this kept on, you know, coming back, and I kept on thinking about it and thinking, by the way, now, and that was better because right now I had this diagnosis of, my prognosis was not so good. So there was that, and it again took me into, you know, depression. But because I had already lived through the previous depression phase, I started therapy before I hit rock bottom to just, you know, support. And then I got better. 2022, I was hiking, which was doing wonders for me. Then now last year, things went a bit sideways. I lost my job, or rather I resigned. We had a fallout and I resigned. Then there's a 1 week period where I lost a few people who are close to me. And, you know, it was just crazy. Like, it was like out of the movies. On Wednesday, my mom gets an accident. The same week on Friday, one of my friends passes on. That we didn't see coming, you know, from cancer. On Saturday, my friend's dad passes on. On Monday, you know, somebody who was close to me, I'm told, you know, I was called and I was told they also passed on. And I was just thinking, oh, and on Thursday the previous week, there was somebody else who passed on. So there was just a lot happened in such a short time. And I just froze and I didn't know how to react. So that was, I think, so on Monday, when I was told all this and I could still not process it, the same week there were some people who had organized to climb Mount Kenya on the same week on Thursday. I just decided to join them so I can go and process what was happening elsewhere. So I went, and when I came back, that's when I started slowly unpacking what was happening. I was still very numb. I didn't quite feel it. That was in February. Can I tell you, I think in May, then I started therapy again because I had stopped. Then in May, that's when everything just hit me, because by then I was having such a bad fallout with my former employer. And by June, my mental health just went kaput. That is when now I actually got a bipolar 2 diagnosis. I didn't even know bipolar had there are two different kinds. So there's the manic one, the bipolar one, where, you know, you'll be told that you'll hear people saying somebody has gone mad. And then bipolar 2 is more of like depressive bipolar. So you get really depressed. And so I was diagnosed around mid last year with bipolar 2, and I have been living with ADHD. So ADHD can also, you know, there's also an aspect of depression there. So I cannot tell you how depressed I was. I mean, it was just, it was quite hard and hectic for me. At this time, I was living alone and I had resumed school. So I had to again stop. There's one of my friends who we were having, you know, a light moment, and she was telling me, I think you're allergic to school because every time I resumed, something happens. So I was living alone and it really shattered me. And there were so many losses. So there was the people who I knew and the people who are close to me and the people who I knew through other friends, all my friends who lost. And I was just, you know, absorbing all these losses. And I remember at some point, even my psychiatrist was telling me I need to get off, you know, all the groups first, because it was really draining me. And I was really internalizing everything. And at some point, I was just thinking, you know, what's the point? What's the point of this life when everything is just, you know, like, there was just so much loss and pain. But what happened during this period, my dear, was not working. I wasn't working. I wasn't in school at some point. And I was living alone. I was quarreling with anybody and everybody in my life. So I was not in good terms with my family. And I was really feeling isolated. And so what ended up happening is one of the people I was hiking with noticed my hand. You know, noticed that my hand had started swelling. We were having coffee, I think. So when he noticed, he was asking me what happened to my hand. I explained, because with some of the hikers, they didn't particularly know about my cancer story unless they were in the previous group which we were hiking with, the Kilele. But there were some who didn't know. So when I told him about this, he told me about his relative who works at Kenyatta and if I can go and have a consultation because my hand was swollen quite a bit. So when I went to see this doctor, he was also reviewing my echocardiogram tests for, you know, for the heart, since my previous treatment had affected my heart a little bit. So he was also checking that. We ended up having a discussion about spirituality outside even medical. So he's a Christian and he, at some point he asked me what my relationship is with God. And let me tell you, I just started crying. I've never cried during any consultation with the doctor apart from that one. So he just asked me and I was so upset. I had so much resentment even towards God because I was just thinking, like, you know, it was just a lot. And I was so upset with so many people, including my family. So when he asked me, we started that conversation about, you know, God really and spirituality. And that is how I started now going back, you know, like reading the Bible, going to church every once in a while. And I started rebuilding my faith in God. And it has been quite very interesting because I did not see myself being pulled from such a dark space to where I am right now. It feels so surreal that about a year ago I was in such a dark space, and right now I can honestly laugh genuinely because, you know, it was so bad. At some point I used to really get, you know, wake up and the first thing I will take is maybe a shot of something, you know, a shot of whiskey or something, to just force myself to get out of the house. So I was just chilling in the house alone and barely eating. I lost so much weight. I would say for the very first time probably in my life, I had given up, not just done something impromptu, not like in 2018 where I just did something impromptu, but this, I had really given up on life because it was several months I didn't want to do anything and I was waiting.
I hope you're enjoying this episode and I'm so glad that you're part of this family. We're taking a small ad break, but we'll be right back. And now, back to the episode.
And you see, at the same time, during the same period, I got a diagnosis. I got a recurrence in September. So I was really waiting. I was just there waiting. But funny thing is, you know, our plans are not always God's plans. Or rather, they're never God's plans. So I ended up going to this hospital and did a PET scan. And that's when I learned of the recurrence. I didn't want to do treatment. But now when this year is when I wanted to now start my treatment. The recurrence was there, but it's not as bad as it was even in 2019. As my, you know, organs are good and, you know, my organs are doing well and all of them are okay. It was just some lymph nodes which showed that the cancer was back. But generally, I would say from being in such a dark space where I didn't feel like there was any hope at all, that's where I truly believe God just showed up. Because some things which I thought, you know, I experienced so many things which were extraordinary for me that they made me totally now believe in God and realize that, you know, whatever is happening in my life, what has already happened, it doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, I don't have a purpose in this life. They have really driven me into seeing the purpose I have. So yeah, the things which happened have taught me something. Right now, I'm expectant, for instance, something which I didn't think would ever happen. The chances were so slim if they were there in at all. You know, being also having a stage 4 breast cancer diagnosis, which is hormonal positive, means that what I was told is if I get pregnant, as the baby grows, so will the cancer. But now what happened is the vice versa happened. You know, the baby has been growing, but the cancer has been shrinking. You know, it actually shrank. The swellings I had, which needed to be biopsied, shrank by themselves. And, you know, both me and the baby are doing really well. And I have been, you know, I have been living my life even better. I'm in such a happy place right now, regardless and in spite of everything which has happened. Oh, this baby of mine has just, you know, she totally, it's a she, and she totally, I always say she totally saved my life. I'm looking forward to, you see, as I've said, the chances were so slim that it's a dream I had. I love children, and it's a dream I had long forgotten because I knew it will never happen. So the thought of even just having a baby, my own baby, it is, you know, it still feels so surreal. I'm so looking forward to having her before my birthday. So my birthday is on the 10th of December, and before then she will already be here. So she's almost here in a month or so. Yeah, I'm looking forward to spending quite some time with her. Because of the first few months, I'll be so selfish with just, you know, spending time with her. But at the same time, what I'm also doing is I'm still doing advocacy. I've been doing advocacy. Like last week on the 31st of October, there's a beauty pageant I was part of. It's called Scars to Stars, and it was the first ever organized by KENCO. Cancer Association, you'll just check, but it's KENCO, an umbrella organization which has most of the cancer organizations or NCDs, related organizations have registered with them. They are a member of KENCO. So yeah, I was part of the models and I actually won. So I'm the first Scars to Stars beauty pageant winner. And this is also to show that, you know, there is life beyond this cancer diagnosis. Am I saying it's easy? Not at all. However, when you start looking at the silver linings, you will find them. So what I've been proactively doing is now not just sharing my story, but also believing that there is silver linings.
Catch more African stories in the next episode of Legally Clueless. What a powerful story. I have so many takeaways, but I think I want to share, three? First is just the power of second opinions. Oh my word. I love my current doctor. I went to see her last year sometime. I was having bleeding 2 weeks after my period, and it looked like fresh blood. And I remember her taking a look and immediately saying she wants to get another set of doctor eyes on the issue. And she knew exactly who she wanted to tap in. She was humble enough to realize she needed to tap into someone else's knowledge. And she was connected enough to know exactly who. I have heard horror stories where some doctors are just terribly dismissive, like what Mwende experienced. And it's so sad because it literally costs lives. And on top of that, I know that there's research that shows that this happens a lot more to Black women. But
That's for another episode. The other thing I took away from Monday's story, I've never admitted to anyone but the closest person in my life. And now I'm about to share it with you. I've always felt that if I get diagnosed with a terminal illness, if it's in its later stages, I think watching my mom battle breast cancer across just over a decade jaded me. And so I have always thought that I would, if I get such a diagnosis, start to just get my affairs in order and get started on my bucket list. That's not what everyone likes to hear. They want to hear you fight. And honestly, I want to hear that the people I love are going to fight should they get such a diagnosis. But for me, I'm not sure I will choose that route. And I've always been ashamed to say it. But when this story reminded me that that's something I think about, you know? And the third thing, man, can you imagine being told you have 1 year to live? What emotions would sweep over you? Who would you call first? I know who I'd call first. And what would be on your bucket list? You know, what are the things that you would want to tick off? And then the most important question I want to leave you with, why are you not doing those things on your bucket list now? What's stopping you? As you're answering that, also in the show notes is a resource on how to do your self-breast exam, which I think is very important for everyone. Men also get breast cancer. I just want to reiterate that. It sometimes can be more aggressive because in some men, there's less breast tissue, but it's a common misconception that men don't get breast cancer. They do. And the other thing that's in the show notes is details on my own personal doctor's clinic. Her name is Dr. Sally. I think there's three doctors that run the clinic. They're all fantastic African women. And she does all my clinical breast exams, my pap smear. No, wait, my pap smear was done by my gyna. But she's done all my clinical breast exams. So in case you're looking for a good doctor, I highly recommend Dr. Sally, and her practice is rooted in wellness. Thank you for being part of this family. I truly appreciate you. And even more than that, I believe you have everything it takes to heal. That's it for this episode of Legally Clueless. You can share this podcast with your friends. You can keep it for yourself. I'm not judging. Just make sure you're here next week for the next episode.